श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरी गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय। नवदीप मायापुर धाम की जय। जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगा देवी की जय। यमुना देवी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी महारानी की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। इस्कान विविधि संस्थापक आचार्य श्री गोपाद की जय। गौ प्रेमानंदे औरी श्री समुद्र गोचिस औरी श्री समुद्र गोचिस औरी श्री समुद्र गोचिस औरी श्री 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 गुरु एन गौरांग जय श्री गोपाद। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमग्नानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टतृषामेष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय। This is Canto 6, Chapter 1, entitled The History of the Life of Ajamila. And today we'll discuss texts number 58 through 60. We have text 58 on the board. So kindly repeat. Ekada asau vanam yataha pitre sandesha कृत द्विजः आदाय ततः आवृत्तः फल पुष्प समेत कुशान। एकदा सौवनं यातः पितृसन्देशकृत्विजः आदाय तत आवृत्तः फलपुष्पसमित्कुशान। एकदा सौवनं यातः पितृसन्देशकृत्विजः आदाय तत आवृत्तः फलपुष्पसमित्कुशान। एकादसौवनं यातः पितृसन्देशकृद्विजः आदाय तत आवृत्तः फलपुष्पसमित्कुशान। पितृसन्देशकृद्विजः आदाय तत आवृत्तः फलपुष्पसमित्कुशान। एकदा सौवनं यातः
एकदा
सोहनं ज्ञात्वा कृत्विजः आदाय फलमावृत्तः फलपुष्पस्मितकोशान् एकदा सोवनं यातः पितृसन्देशकृद्विजः आवृत्तः फलपुष्पस्मितकोशान् He was just like you two. Are you going to end up like him? Pay attention. There's two more verses. I'll just sing these other verses. This is the good part. Dadarsha kaminam kanchit chudram sahabhujishyaya pitva cha madhumaireyam madaghurnita netriya mataya vishlatham divya vyapetam nirapatrapam kridantam anugayantam hasantam anayantike. So, how should we do this? I guess I'll just recite the word for word. You can please repeat. Ekada, once upon a time, asao, this ajamila. Now, here the pronoun is used asao. Previous verse, the pronoun was ayam. This boy, he was all these wonderful things, the nice qualities that we heard yesterday. And today we have asao, referring to him, means this person who is so nicely qualified. This kind of emphasizes that. So then, vanam yataha went to the forest, pitre of his father, sandesha, the order, krit, carrying out, vijaham, the brahmana, adaya, collecting, tataha, from the forest, Avrittaha, returning. Palapushpa, fruits and flowers. Samit Koshan, two kinds of grass, known as Samit and Kusha. Does anybody know this word, Samit? This famous verse. Samit Pani, Shrotriyam, Brahmanishtam. What does it mean? When you have to, actually, simit means a kind of fuel they use for firewood. So he was the archetypical good disciple. He was out there collecting, not for his guru, but for his father, same thing. There are two kinds of parampara. There's shishya parampara, and there's shukra parampara. So he's coming in the shukra parampara. Shukra parampara means seminal succession, whereas shishya parampara means the siblic succession. So he was nicely serving in the way that all the shastras advise. This is the innocent part. Now it gets nasty. So then the next, I'll just say the word for word myself. I'll give you the meanings here. Dadarsha, he saw kaminam, very lusty, kanchit, somebody. Shudram, a fourth class man, a shudra. Saha, along with Bhujishyaya, an ordinary maidservant or prostitute. Pitva, after drinking, cha, also, madhu, nectar, maireyam, made out of the soma flower. Madha, by intoxication, aghurnanita, moving, netriya, her eyes. Her eyes, not his eyes. Mattaya, intoxicated, vishlatanivya, whose dress was slackened. Again, this is not his dress. Nivi is this cord that they tie around their waist. That was slackened. It's her. The problem is hers, it seems. Usually ends up that way. Vyapetam, fallen from proper behavior. Nirapatrapam, without fear of public opinion. Kridantam, engaged in enjoyment. Anugayantam, singing. Hasantam, smiling. Anaya, with her. Antike, close by. Translation. Once this Brahmana Ajamila, following the order of his father, went to the forest to collect fruit, flowers, and two kinds of grass, called Samit and Kusha. On the way home, he came upon a Shudra, a very lusty fourth-class man who was shamelessly embracing and kissing a prostitute. The Shudra was smiling, singing, and enjoying as if this were proper behavior. Both the Shudra and the prostitute were drunk. The prostitute's eyes were rolling in intoxication, and her dress had become loose. Such was the condition in which Ajamila saw them. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. While traveling along the public way, Ajamila came upon a fourth-class man and a prostitute, who are vividly described here. Drunkenness was sometimes manifest even in bygone ages, although not very frequently. In this age of Kali, however, such sin is to be seen everywhere, for people all over the world have become shameless. Long ago, when he saw the scene of the drunken Shudra and the prostitute, Ajamila, who was a perfect brahmachari, was affected. Nowadays, such sin is visible in so many places, and we must consider the position of the brahmachari student who sees such behavior. For such a brahmachari to remain steady is very difficult unless he is extremely strong in following the regulative principles. Nevertheless, if one takes the Krishna consciousness very seriously, he can withstand the provocation created by sin. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we prohibit illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. In Kali Yuga, a drunk, half-naked woman embracing a drunk man is a very common sight, especially in the Western countries. And restraining oneself after seeing such things is very difficult. Nevertheless, if by the grace of Krishna one adheres to the regulative principles and chants the Hare Krishna mantra, Krishna will certainly protect him. Indeed, Krishna says that his devotee is never vanquished. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhaktaha pranashati. Therefore, all the disciples practicing Krishna consciousness should obediently follow the regulative principles and remain fixed in chanting the holy name of the Lord. Then there need be no fear. Otherwise, one's position is very dangerous, especially in this Kali Yuga. Om Agnana Timirantasya Gnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho, Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This sixth canto we've mentioned before is comprised of the topic of Poshanam. What does Poshanam mean? Poshanam? To maintain, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks in his introduction to this chapter, in his chapter summary, so to speak, he says that actually Poshanam means to give clemency to somebody who's guilty. And who's not guilty in this world? So in his exact language, he says, dharma maryado ullanghitam apipalanam. You give kindness. You protect somebody even though that person has transgressed the ordinary codes of dharma, or maybe the transcendental codes of dharma as well. Anyway, that's poshanam. So poshanam tad anugraha. It's actually a function of mercy. Now, there are three chapters that deal with this Ajamila Katha, and there are six chapters dealing with Vishwarup. There are eight chapters dealing with Vritra. Who is Vritra the reincarnation of? Chitraketu. And there are another two chapters, I think, of the Maruts. What is the common thread? What is the common denominator in all these different chapters of the sixth canto? It has to tie into this topic of Poshanam somehow or other. So what are we dealing with? Or who are we dealing with? Ajamila was what kind of person? He was a good person. But there are accidents even on royal roads. We'll talk more about that. So he became a papi. He was a sinful person. And the other chapters all deal more or less with whom? Indra. Indra was what kind of person? Also a demigod, very highly qualified. But he was more than sinful. He was worse than sinful. What was Indra? He was an aparadhi. He committed offenses. Specifically, he committed guravaparad. He offended his spiritual master. So this sixth canto is showing us through all these different kathas that we have how Krishna shows mercy even to people who may inadvertently become sinful on occasion, but not too many occasions. And also on persons even who are offenders, people who are good people, but they've committed offenses. And the examples are Ajamila and Indra. So here we're on the Ajamil story. Now, before we go on from here, I'd like to mention, the other day I was speaking with Hariram Prabhu, and he had a question from the first canto. He said in the first canto, chapter 12, text 29, it's describing how upon the birth of Parikshit Maharaj, Yudhishthir Maharaj was giving in charity to highly qualified brahmanas who were able to foretell the future of the child. They were asking him, tell us what the future of this boy will be. Is he going to represent his noble line? Or obviously the worst scenario is that he's going to embarrass or bring shame to his family. Shame. Bookmark that word. How do we say shame in Hindi or in Sanskrit? Sharma also, what else? Lajja. Lajja. So, anyway, Prabhupada remarks in his purport there, he's talking about how Brahmins, even they may not be so spiritual, but they're they're pure and they're intellectual persons. And they try to help society with their qualifications. So there are many different branches of knowledge in the Vedas, of which astrology and pathology are two important branches necessary for the common man. So astrology we can understand maybe. What is pathology? Why pathology? What is pathology, first of all? The diagnosis of a cause or a cause of a disease. That's very good. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines it. The study of the essential nature of disease. You have to know what is wrong with you. We went to the doctor, and the doctor, I think he asks everybody the same question, because when I went, he asked me the same question also. He said, "Do you have diabetes?" And the answer is no. And he said, "Well, how do you know? Have you been tested?" You see? So we have to know. That is called pathology. That's the primary definition. The secondary definition is the abnormality of structure and function characteristic of a disease. The abnormality of function and structure which is characteristic of a particular disease. That we also find in this material world, because we're all diseased, we're infected, and therefore we have symptoms of that infection. The symptoms of the infection is that our good qualities, the kinds of qualities that were mentioned in the previous two texts from yesterday, they become obscured. And they become replaced, really, with ugly qualities due to sin, mainly. Due to bad association in general, because that precipitates sin. Now, there's a third definition of pathology. Deviation giving rise to social ills. Just like we sometimes hear. She's a pathological liar. Mother Earth cannot bear such a person. So this is what pathology means. And Srila Prabhupada says this, that astrology and pathology are the two important branches of knowledge from Vedic literatures. So he asked me, the question is this word pathology clarified somewhere in the commentaries? And I looked up at least the Gaudiya commentaries, main commentaries that we study. I couldn't find that there's any mention of it. There's mention of Jyotish Shastra, there's mention of, in the verse itself, Jataka Kovidas. Those were expert in Jataka. Jataka means understanding a person's nature on account, by dint of studying his astrological makeup or her astrological makeup. So there's actually nothing in the commentaries that would indicate that pathology. So we were wondering, how do we understand what exactly did Prabhupada mean when he said this, for one thing? And then maybe even more importantly, why did he say it? So we concluded, for what our opinion is worth, that Prabhupada, when he mentions pathology, he's talking about understanding a person's samskar. Now, before we move on from that point, I'd like to say that another possibility, a real possibility, is that pathology means the medical science, as it generally does in English language, at least. Because scholars will agree, if you ask them, that the medical literature in Sanskrit, the astrological literature in Sanskrit, and the Dharma literature in Sanskrit, they're all very, very closely related, and they follow from the Vedanta literature as well. In other words, all of the Shastras are very, very closely related, and they're all consistent with one another. They have the same worldview. And that's a very different worldview than we generally have by default when we are socialized in the modern world, and especially in the modern Western world. That's a big topic. But the point to recognize, first of all, here is that we are in a diseased condition and or we are in a criminal condition, because pathology covers both of these possibilities. On account of our disease, we are criminal. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions in... Now we've changed gears. We've heard about Ajamila's glorious upbringing in the last verse, yesterday's class. Now we're changing gears. He says, after discussing the essential truth and the characteristics of Dharma, as they were requested to do by the Vishnu Dutas, these Yama Dutas are now going to talk about Ajamila's deviation from that ideal, his adharma. So this is an important thing. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says the reason that we're changing gears and moving in this direction to look at what happened to Ajamila is to indicate that he was actually culpable for what he did. He was guilty and should have been punished. Now, if you extend from that, knowing the whole story, then you appreciate that even though he should have been punished, he was not punished. That's the glory of Krishna's mercy. So, generally, therefore, in text number 6, we find the necessity of atonement, and both our predecessor acharyas and even Srila Prabhupada himself, they're very clear on this point. I'll just read the final sentences of Prabhupada's purport, wherein Prabhupada writes, since people do not know about the next life and the intricate workings of nature, they manufacture their own laws, but they should properly consult the established injunctions of the Shastras and act accordingly. In India, even today, the Hindu community often takes advice from expert scholars regarding how to counteract sinful activities. In Christianity, also, there is a process of confession and atonement. Therefore, atonement is required, and atonement must be undergone according to the gravity of one's sinful acts. In fact, in this, I think it's on this verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, if you delay in atoning for something that you've done, then your reactions increase and become harder. And Prabhupada points out, I think it's in his purport there, that when you get to old age, you actually cannot perform atonement. It's too late. Either you're not able physically, or the reactions have compounded interests, we can say. It's something to consider. Of course, after that, the ultimate resolution to this repeated sinning and washing process is given as gyan. When we come to gyan, then our ignorance is eradicated. And as we say in Hindi, no bans, no bansuri. If you don't have a bamboo, you don't have a bamboo flute. So gyan is actually the way to overcome the tendency to sin, the ignorance that is the substrate of sin. But even that gyan is not enough to establish us fully in our constitution. That is actually bhakti. But how many people can actually follow that? This is the question. It's maybe a rhetorical question, but he says it. Kechit. Kechit kevalya bhaktya. How many people? Some people. Only some, Prabhupada says. Kechit means some, a few, not very many. We know the statistics from Bhagavad Gita. Where do you fall within those statistics? Where are you going? What's your trajectory? That brings us to the next point. In text 37, while they're having this discussion, the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas, the Vishnudutas point blank tell them that you don't know Dharma. You're just pretas. They tell this to the Yamadutas. Who knows what a preta is? What kind of ghost is a preta? Baladev Vidyabhushan, in his Bhagavad Gita commentaries, defines a preta is somebody who has fallen from his caste duties in a previous life. Therefore, he has lost the opportunity. He didn't take the opportunity that makes human life unique. Therefore, he lost the opportunity. He remains a hungry ghost. Hungry ghost means he's got desires, but he can't fulfill those desires. It's like you want to eat something, but all you can do is look at it. It doesn't help very much. That is ghostly existence. And I don't know any praman for this, but somebody told me, for what it's worth, that the Yamadutas are generally these pretas. They're so frustrated and so fried with their existence that they go after anybody else who's making the same mistake that they made. I mean, sometimes we see this in the material world. At one time, I had to go and see a lawyer. And I was talking to this lawyer, just kind of checking the person out to see if this person could fulfill my needs. And this person was so bitter and had such a chip on her shoulder about the kind of people that she was obviously prosecuting that I thought, this is just not healthy, I'd better shop elsewhere. You see? So these pretas or the yamadutas sometimes, from what, this is Janashruti, mind you. Janashruti means, what is it? Yeah, basically. This is hearsay, you can say. Anyway, that's just something to consider on the side here. But this is what the Vishnudutas at least are telling them. You think you're Yamadutas representing Dharma, but actually you're just pretas. That's why they were smiling after they heard the Yamadutas trying to explain that, you know, we're supposed to take this guy away. So, in text 48, it's mentioned very clearly that Yamaraj is capable, and he generally observes, not necessarily what we've done from our point of view, but he's looking at it over the in the consideration of the entire trajectory, our current trajectory and the entire sojourn of our material existence. Where are we going? And how long have we decided to go in that direction? Look in the mirror. Why do you have the kind of body that you have? Why do you hold the opinions that you hold? What makes you think the way you think? What makes you the kind of person that you are? This is samskara. It's actually swabhava. In text number 53, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, we get our current swabhava, our present physical body, the sthula shirir, is the effect of the sukshma shirir, the subtle body. And the subtle body's essence is swabhava, the nature that we have acquired over so many lifetimes in material existence. Now that nature, he says, he identifies it as purva samskarodbhuta, something that is produced as a result of your previous samskaras. Whatever you are now is the result of whatever you've done in the past. And it's important to consider that that's not just a physical reality, it's a psychological reality as well. Something very, very important. So Yamaraj is looking at this thing only. Not only, but the point is that he's able to see this level of existence. And he's making decisions about our future on that basis. So now we're looking at Ajamila's problem. We finished discussing Dharma. And here we find it almost gets into soft porn, this part of the Bhagavatam. You know, she's partially dressed, they're both intoxicated. This is a very common thing, especially in the Western countries, Prabhupada has written in his purport. But it's very, very destructive. Why? Because it plants the samskaras into your mind that may not have been there previously. And what's even worse than that, when we become jaded or become... what's the word? It no longer affects us that much. That means that our samskaras have been changed. When we take these things as normal or acceptable in any way, then that means our samskaras have already changed. We've already become buried deeper in this ugliness, ugra karma. So Ajamila, although he had every good training in this birth, something awoke within his heart when he saw this, Didarsha. Well, I'm going to skip ahead just for a moment to text number 65 because it's a very powerful idea here. The word is used when he saw the glances of this Swairani. There's some very rich words are used to describe this woman. Three words. The word in today's verse is Pujishya. Pujishya. What does Pujishya mean? Can anybody guess? Those who know Sanskrit. Puj. What does Puj mean? To enjoy. The verbal root is bhuj, which means to, it means a lot of things. It means to enjoy something, it means to plunder something. It means to exploit something, to take advantage or use something. All these words are used in reference to this woman. She's someone who's meant to be enjoyed, someone who's meant to be taken advantage of, who's meant to be exploited even. Very rich word. And in the commentaries, this word has been glossed by Sridhar Swami as Bhogastri. Bhogastri, a woman who is to be enjoyed. And obviously that means, I mean, in Prabhupada's word for word, and even in his translation, I think it's not so clear. He's kind of ambivalent. Either she's a maidservant or she's a prostitute. By the time he writes his purport, he's made a clear distinction. She's a prostitute. So bhujishya means that. And the other word is used here, swairini, in text 65. Swairini means a woman who goes on her own, an independent woman. This is another very telling vocabulary. Because dasi, she's a dasi, means she's dependent. Now in America and also in Europe, does everybody know that there's like a $28 billion slave trade going on worldwide? Especially in women, trafficked women. But also other people as well. People who are dependent. People who are not. People who are in a compromised or vulnerable situation. Somebody wants their green card, we call it in America. Or somebody wants to get into the European Union. Now they're breaking down the doors, is it not? They're all fleeing from a very repressive government in Syria. And what happens to these people? Even the boys take to prostitution. Compare that to what Ajamilad was doing. They will do anything. You see? Because they're dasas, they're dasis. And all these words have been used to describe this woman. Because she was independent, I mean, because she was an independent dependent, this is the point. Therefore, she became bhujishya, bhogastri. She became a public woman. Therefore, it's significant, as we mentioned earlier, that the words that are described here, her eyes are rolling in intoxication, her dress is becoming loose. She is the one being taken advantage of, because that's what it means to be a woman, fortunately or unfortunately. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, someone once asked one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, what is the position of women in Krishna consciousness? And he said, women have the superior position in Krishna consciousness because they recognize their dependence, because they have faithful nature. They're more submissive. They have soft hearts. These are things that we find mentioned in Srila Prabhupada's books. But on account of those same advantages, they can be taken advantage of. They can be abused. This is the thing. Therefore, poshanam, palanam, they have to be protected. This is a recurring theme throughout Srila Prabhupada's books. Anyway, don't want to dilate too much on that, but this is what Ajamila saw. He saw these two in intoxication and basically illicit sex. So what happened then? Hrit chayavashaha. This next verse, I think, describes. Hrit chayavasham. He was under the control of what was already lying in his own heart. Man is like butter, woman is like. So this is the, we like to say that the women are 9 times more lusty than the men, but actually the men are 9 times more vulnerable than the women. That's why they tend to be the ones who commit these crimes, isn't it? It's the men who are raping, not the women. Because they're like butter. So, poor Ajamila, even though he was of good character, of good family, and had good training, he did not recognize what was already in his heart. And he could not overcome the power of what was lying in his heart. Literally, hrityaya means what is lying in the heart. It's a very interesting choice of words. It's the exact same choice of words that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami chooses when he's describing the life history of another great devotee, Bilvamangala Thakur. Bilvamangala Thakur was in South India, near Pandharpur, and he was also a very good Brahmin in the beginning, but he became attached to a prostitute on account of hritsaya, that thing which was lying in the heart. So Krishna gives us the information how to strategize with our disease. Remember, we were talking about pathology. You have to recognize what is your diagnosis. That's why it's a good idea to understand your prarabdha karma for this life, if not also your samskaras. So, Krishna tells us, if you want to strategize how to get out of this maya energy, then you have to understand that your enemy is sitting in three places. What are the three places in which our enemy is sitting? Seated? Senses? Mind? Intellect. All three. And here the word is very nicely used. Svairanya apanga viddadhi. This is in text number 65. As soon as she looked at him, Ajamila's intelligence was finished. And there's a nice Tamil poem. It's in translation, of course, because I cannot read Tamil. Ancient poem from the Sangam period, Tamil literature. Ancient poem. The poet writes, I had, as you would wish, courtesy, friendship, honor, usefulness, culture, and a considerate way with others. I had them all before I set eyes on the cold, rich eyes of this woman. So it's not a new thing. It's lying in everybody's heart. Ajamila's test is here, as we heard a few days ago. His example is given to us to show. In the Bhagavatam, we many times hear there are examples that we should emulate and there are examples that we should not follow, both in the Bhagavatam. So poor Ajamila, he was not able to control his mind, as Prabhupada says in his purport. He was not strict enough in following the regulative principles, and he was subdued, he was overtaken by what was already in his own heart. Now, what happened as a result of that? Nirapatrapam and Vyapetam. These are two very significant words. Prabhupada has defined them here in his word for word. Nirapatrapam means without fear of public opinion, and Vyapetam means fallen from proper behavior. That's coming from the predecessor acharyas. I think it's Viraraghava Acharya says Vilajam. Vyapetam means Vilajam. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Vilajam means no shame. Therefore, we see shameless is the word that Prabhupada has used in his purport. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Loka Bhaya Rahitam. They're not freed from any fear of public opinion. I mean, that's, in some sense, they were afraid. That's why they're out in the middle of the forest doing this. But now Prabhupada says people are so shameless, they don't even see there's anything wrong. A couple of days ago, a Catholic priest came out and announced to the Vatican that I'm gay. I've got a boyfriend. A highly placed priest in the Vatican. Of course, somebody in the Vatican has enough sense that he was immediately dismissed. And now he's gone on a socio-political activist cause. But anyway, don't want to get too far afield. The idea is that nirapatrapam, vilajam, we should have some shame. There's one thing I've noticed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, studying many different stories, is that people get Krishna's mercy on account of qualities that they display vis-a-vis the Supreme Lord. If someone shows some shame, he can be freed from this problem that Ajamila. So to develop mundane virtues is not necessarily a bad idea, but they have to be tempered by knowledge. And more importantly, they have to be engaged in devotional service. Vasudev displayed great honesty. Bali Maharaj displayed great commitment to his word. Like this. We find many examples like this. These qualities, they come naturally by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that brings us to the final point. What do we do? I mean, if Ajamila, with all of his qualifications, in a previous age, with a good family and all good qualities, all the things we read about yesterday, if he's not strong enough, then what is the chance for us? If we were listening carefully, we had noticed the way that Prabhupada states this in his purport. I'll just go over it again quickly. Srila Prabhupada says, to remain steady is very difficult unless one is extremely strong in following the regular principles. If one takes to Krishna consciousness very seriously, he can withstand the provocation created by sin. Now, it's not necessarily directly created by sin, although sin does directly create problems. It's indirectly created by someone else's sinful activity as well. That was what happened to Ajamila. And how much worse is it today, when sin is so pervasive? Our problems are created by sin. Not necessarily even our own sins. Maybe from someone else's sin. It's like the psychologists often argue. Is it nature or is it nurture that causes us to act in the ways that we act? It's actually both. Sangat sanjayate kama. Or karanam guna sangosya. When we associate with the particular modes of nature that are prominent in our vatavarana, in our environment, then we are going to be impelled. That's already been described by the Yamadutas in the previous verses. Nobody cannot be impelled. But if we have Krishna's grace, and this is something that Prabhupada very carefully qualifies here, he says, if by the grace of Krishna one adheres to the regular principles and chants the Hare Krishna mantra, Krishna will certainly protect him. So this is the monkey philosophy. We have two kinds of Sri Vaishnavas, Vardagalais and Tengalais. So one says that the kitten is automatically carried by the mother cat, and that's true. Here in Vrindavan, we see that the baby monkeys, they have to hold on to the mother monkey. That's also true. It's actually both of them. But we have to do our part, and that is to adhere to the instructions of the spiritual master. And especially this instruction to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Prabhupada says very unequivocally, if we are very serious about this, then Krishna will certainly protect us. By his grace, mat prasadat tarishyasi, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Everybody know that verse? Mat chitta sarva durgani, sarva durgani. Every kind of obstacle can be thrown at you by Maya. She will do it. Just wait, if you don't believe me. But Krishna says, if you hear from me, and you follow what I'm saying without false ego, then mat prasara tishyasi. You will cross over all these things by my grace. This is the key. You cannot do anything on your own. We heard this yesterday. We're already fallen. What is the fear of falling down? But by Krishna's grace, we can be elevated. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, I'm going to say one more thing because it's late. We can adopt the spirit that is expressed in a very beautiful poem by the ancient Maithili poet Vidyapati. Vidyapati was very favorite of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, exalted Vaishnava poet. He said, Madhava bahuta minati karitoi, dei tulasi tila deha samarpino, daya jani na charabimoi. He says, Madhava, I'm beseeching you repeatedly. I'm offering you my body as if a simple tulasi leaf. Because I know your mercy. I know that you won't reject me. Gunai te dosa. Guna lesha na paubi. Jaba tumhu karabi bichar. If you consider, if you do an analysis of my qualities and flaws, you'll find that I don't even have a speck of any good qualities. I'm only doshas, only flaws. But tumhu jagannatha. Jagate kahaose. The whole world calls you Jagannath. Jagabahir nahi muicha. I'm not outside of this universe. You'll not reject me. Kie manushya पशु पक्षी जे जनमिये अथवा कीट पटंगे. Even a poet like Vidyapati is not sure where he's going. This is a point to take note of. That is the basis of humility. We don't know what is Krishna's plan. So he says, if I have to take another human birth, or maybe I'll take birth as an animal, or maybe a bird, or maybe I'll even take birth as an insect or a fly. He said, but one thing, karma vipake, gata gati puna puna. After having wasted so many lifetimes, one after another, without having achieved my goal, he says, at least mati rahutva parasange. At least somehow or other keep me connected with you. This is his prayer. Bhaniye vidyapati atishaya katara. Vidyapati is totally disturbed, totally dejected and discouraged, embarrassed. Taraite iha bhavasindhu. He prays, please take me over this bhavasindhu, this ocean of material existence. Tuva parapallava kariyavalambana. I take shelter. I take the support of your lotus feet. Tila eka deha dinabandhu. My dear Lord Dinabandhu, this body, after all, one tulsi leaf is not a very significant thing. Beautiful poem. It reminds us of this verse from the Bhagavatam. Jayam sada pariva bhavagnama bhishta doham. Very similar. Anyway, there's so much more we could say, but it's time to stop now. Maybe if anybody has one or two questions only, we can take them. Yes, Maharaj.
I actually have a lot of things I want to ask you.
That's a very, very good question. I was reading in this whole chapter, all the different commentaries.
Not that I'm making plans.
And, you know, while there's discussion of Indra and what happened to him, it would seem as if he was meant to suffer in this way, but Indra had an option. Either I can do something to counteract, that's called prayaschitta, within the karmakandya vichar. Either I can do something to counteract this reaction, or I can accept the reaction, and Indra chose to accept the reaction. Now, that's not necessarily directly relating to your question, but it seems to me that Yamanaj is just giving out this justice without interfering in much the same way that Paramatma doesn't interfere except through his causeless mercy or through the Vaishnavas. It seems that way, but I don't know. To be honest, I can't answer the question. You know. Anything else? Okay, one more.
Thank you very much. I was just inquisitive to know after this class what actually do we meditate in respect of all the wonderful advice you gave.
I didn't hear your question, sorry.
I said, in respect of all the analysis you did over the issue of Ajameya, so I'm asking, what do we think of, what do we meditate on? What do we meditate on?
Somebody's going to have to help me.
After hearing all of this, correct me if I'm wrong, what is our takeaway?
Okay, what's the take-home message on this? What is your homework? I tried to say in the end, we have to adopt this mood and chant Hare Krishna in full surrender, seriously. And then Krishna's mercy will deliver us. It's a simple process. Most of us don't simply take it. We mix it. That's the problem. But Prabhupada assures us in this purport, Krishna will certainly deliver us from all these disadvantages that overwhelm us. But we have to do our part. We have to hold on to those instructions of the spiritual master and be serious. And mainly through chanting. Everything is affected through the holy name. Chanting, chanting, chanting. Okay? Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.